Welcome to Mind Walk, produced at Upstart Radio for Free Radio Santa Cruz, KRFP Radio Free Moscow, IndieMedia.org, RadioForAll.net, community and micropower stations worldwide.
You not ask if she believed in God. She's not a Christian.
It could be a Jew and believe in God.
It doesn't matter. She's tampering and dark sided stuff. She's not a Christian.
It could be a Jew and believe in God.
It doesn't matter. She's tampering and dark sided stuff. Yes, she did.
Mom, come sit with
us. Did you talk about astrology?
No.
Did you get hypnotized by her? I have taken a stand. I am not a fence rider. I was over there praying for all these people, but I needed prayer. I needed you to be
praying for you.
You give me.
I was praying for you every night.
Your prayers. There was nothing of God. Every day it was nothing of God. I had to change the whole plans and make everybody go to a Catholic church because I was leaving. Took the air sets and I said, I am leaving. Fly me home.
Mama, just hold
we
back.
Had a party, a solstice party.
Well, she said that was about the moon. It was a long
time. Yeah, it's about the moon because they only believe in the moon and the gods and the this and the that.
She was not like that.
Her name is Jade. I went to her station. Her kids don't go to church or believe in God. Tarot cards and astrology and witch books and... And
we had none of that here.
Because you know why? Because I'm the warrior. I ask all the questions. Take the money, take whatever you got, and get out of my house. In Jesus' name, I pray. They will be on my prayer list for the day I die. Every one of them.
You spoke to her?
I speak that into existence. Every one of them. I planted that seed and I will see the harvest. Get out of my house. Every dark-sided person, get out of my house. If you believe in Jesus, you can stay here. Don't stay in my house if you're dark-sided. I don't want to see a book of witches. I don't want to see anything, any stars. I don't want to see any of this dark-sided psychics, all the things, tarot card reading. I rebuke it in the name of the Lord.
Mom, come see come talk to somebody.
I am a prayer warrior. Do you know what she is? Do you know what they do? Did you ask her, was she a Christian? Did you ask her, did she believe in God? She's not a Christian! She's not a Christian!
It could be a Jew and believe in God.
It doesn't matter. She's tampering and dark-sided stuff. Yes, she did! Yes, she did! I was over there praying for all these people, but I needed prayer. I needed you to be
praying for
I needed you. You give me.
I was praying for you every night.
Your prayers. There was nothing of God. Every day it was nothing of God. I had to change the whole plans and make everybody go to a Catholic church because I was leaving. Took the air sets and I said, I am leaving. Fly me home.
Mama, just hold
we back. Had a party, a solstice party.
Well, she said that was about the moon. It was a long
Yeah, it's about the moon because they only believe in the moon and the gods and the this and the that.
She was not like that.
Her name is Jade. I went to her station. Her kids don't go to church or believe in God.
Down, 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 down. Keep your Jesus off my penis, keep your Bible off my balls. Keep your prayers out of my ears and your crosses off my walls. You can keep the Virgin Mother and the resurrection too. Keep your Jesus off my penis, I'll keep my penis off of you. Well, I'm freaking sick and tired of turning on the news and seeing the religious right's ungodly fight to take our right to choose when to bear our children, who to love and how, education and protection if we're just practicing for now. So obey a book if that's what works for you, but I don't tell you how to pray, so don't you tell me how to screw. Keep your Jesus off my penis, keep your Bible off my balls, keep your prayers out of my ears and your crosses off my walls. You can keep the Virgin Mother and the resurrection. searching to keep your Jesus off my penis. I'll keep my penis off of you. So you are screaming bloody murder about the Taliban regime, for subjugating women and being too extreme, and basing legislation on some ancient holy book. Does that sound a bit familiar? Here's a mirror, have a look. And as for the Ten Commandments, they need one more at least. Thou shalt never cover up the acts of pervert priests. Well, how they let that happen? Unless they just abhor us. Well, anyway, adds another layer to the chorus. Keep your Jesus off my penis. Keep your Bible off my balls. Keep your prayers out of my ears and your crosses off my walls. You can keep the Virgin Mother and the Resurrection too. Keep your Jesus off my penis. I'll keep my penis off of you. So you'll execute a person and then protect a single cell. But mercy kill the terminally ill and you're going straight to hell. I don't know much about the word of God, far be it from me, but I can tell you what it ain't. That's hypocristianity. Well, I am not anti-Christian. Before you grab a rope, there is beauty in religion and joy and love and hope, and we're all looking for that answer, some colossal cosmic cause. But who the fuck are you to turn your views into my laws? It's just believers in the Bible that would have abortion banned. Anti-choice agnostics, I could count them on one hand. And as for killing babies, I've got but one retort. If someone raped your daughter, George, you'd beg her to abort. And if some young girl from your church shows up with child or some infection, 'cause you told her what a horrid sin it was to use protection, well, one day you'll face the pearly gates. And what you gonna say when that long-haired Jewish peacenik sends your ass the other way, saying, keep your Jesus off my penis, keep your Bible off my balls, keep your prayers out of my ears, and your crosses off my walls. I've had it up to here with all the bibliophiles you spew, so keep your Jesus off my penis. Well, at least that's what I will do. Yeah, keep your Jesus off my penis, keep my penis off of you. That's if you want me to.
The free market played a crucial role in the August 2005 destruction of New Orleans and the death of hundreds of its residents. Knowing that a momentous hurricane might hit that city and the surrounding areas, what did officials do? They played the free market. They announced that everyone should evacuate. Everyone was expected to devise their own way out of the disaster area by private means, just like people do when disaster hits free market countries throughout the Third World. It's a beautiful thing, this free market, in which every individual pursues his or her own personal interests and thereby affects an optimal outcome for the entire society. That's how the invisible hand works its wonders in mysterious ways. In New Orleans, there would be none of the regimented evacuation that occurred in Cuba. When a powerful Category 5 hurricane hit Cuba last year, the Castro government, abetted by neighborhood citizens' committees, evacuated some 1.5 million people, more than 10% of the country's population. The Cubans lost 20,000 homes in that hurricane, but not a single person was killed. This feat went largely unmentioned in the U.S. press. On day one of Hurricane Katrina, it was already clear that hundreds had perished in New Orleans. Media reporters explained that the people stayed because they were just plain stubborn. It was only by day three that they discovered that hundreds of thousands of people stayed because they had no way of getting out and no place to go once they got out. They had no cars and no cash, and so they sat tight, hoping for the best. In the end, the free market didn't work so well for them. Many were low-income African Americans, along with fewer numbers of poor whites. It should be remembered that most of them had jobs before the flood hit them. That's what most poor people do in this country. They work, usually quite hard, sometimes more than one job at a time. They are poor not because they're lazy, but because they are paid poverty wages while burdened by high prices, high rents, and regressive taxes. The free market played a role in the disaster in other ways. George Bush's agenda throughout his presidency has been to cut government services to the bone and make people rely on the free market sector for the things they might need. So So he sliced $71 million from the budget of the New Orleans Corps of Engineers, a 44% reduction. Plans to fortify New Orleans levees and upgrade the system of pumping out water had to be shelved. In addition, many of the engineers had started work to build new levees several years ago, but many of them were taken off such projects and sent to Iraq. And the president then also cut $30 million in flood control appropriations. For New Orleans, most of the destruction was caused not by the hurricane, which swerved and hit Mississippi harder, but by the flood that came when the levees broke. Afterward, Bush said, quote, "I don't think anyone anticipated that breach of the levees." Another untruth tumbling from his lips. The catastrophic flooding of New Orleans had been predicted for some years by storm experts, engineers, Louisiana journalists, state officials, and even some federal agencies. In their campaign to starve out the public sector, the Bush reactionaries allowed developers to drain vast areas of wetlands. Global warming, also a product of the free market, has destroyed other wetlands that had been a flood barrier for New Orleans. So again, that old invisible hand of the free market that was supposed to take care of things didn't really work very well. The developers pursuing their own private profit were expected to devise outcomes that would benefit us all. They did not. There are those who say that government doesn't work. Look how poorly it performed, how ineptly, in New Orleans. To be sure, government doesn't work. Certainly not when it's in the hands of reactionaries who have no desire for it to work. New Orleans was victimized by those right-wing ideologues who oppose the idea that government can be a salutary force in regard to social needs and human services. Bush was unable to take care of the people of New Orleans, but he was able to take care of that tiny fraction of 1%, the super rich, who picked up all the fat contracts in regard to New Orleans.
The free market for me
means the flea market for you.
Show me a free market.
I'll show you
a flea market. Now, what is a flea market?
A flea market is what you get
working for the free market. A free market means,
in small towns across America,
Walmart, that's what's left,
that's what you get
working for the free market. A free market means
dining out,
McDonald's,
Burger King,
Pizza Hut,
Taco Bell,
that's what's left,
that's what you can afford
working for the free market. A free market means,
let's turn on the radio,
click, the same music,
click, the same DJ,
click, the same talk show,
click, that's what's left,
that's what you get
working for the free market.
Let's watch TV.
Click, nothing.
Click, nothing.
Click, nothing being said.
Click, nothing being shown.
Click, nothing.
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 Working for the free market.
So you see,
the free market for me
means the flea market for you.
We think you got the point. In fact,
we think you got the shaft.
Click.
You want to buy some pipes?
Some what?
Pipe.
Pipe, yeah. Yeah. Tell me about your pipes.
Which one? Which kinds? We have many different kinds of pipes. Yeah. You want like a wood on? And like a pin pipe, mushroom pipe, different kinds of pipe.
And this here, you have...
This is big hookah. Yeah. This is handicraft in Nepal.
Yeah.
You like that? I know Bombay steep home pipe.
Yeah.
And then leather thresh, some, you know, statue, Buddha, something, something.
Okay.
Else. Thank you.
Maybe later.
Okay, then.
Greetings. This is podcast number 15 of Blast the Right. I'm Jack Clark from therationalradical.com. www.therationalradical.com.
You don't need to precede therationalradical.com with www. The www is redundant, and so is Jack Clark. I'm going to play a clip from this very podcast that's number 15 of Blast the Right.
In this segment, we'll listen to master propagandist Sean Hannity apply the big lie technique to the area of Iraqi WMDs. Hannity's guest is Representative Gerald Nadler from New York City, a liberal Democrat. Here's the relevant excerpt from the exchange between Hannity and Nadler.
Here's what you're doing. You are politicizing a policy disagreement. Let me point out why this is true.
No, I'm not.
Wait a minute. Let me finish. Bill Clinton said about Saddam's weapons of mass destruction. Al Gore said it. The guy you voted for, John Kerry, in the lead up to the war in 2003, said leaving Saddam unfettered with nuclear weapons or WMDs is unacceptable. If you don't believe Saddam's a threat with nuclear weapons, don't vote for me. Iraq's WMDs pose a real and grave threat to America. If you were fair, Congressman, if you were not a political partisan, you would be saying the same thing about the guy you voted for. But you're not fair. You're not balanced. You're partisan.
Well, of course I'm partisan, but I'm also fair. The fact is that I believe that a lot of Democratic senators and Republican senators and congressmen were misled by the administration.
So you're blaming John Kerry's public statements on George Bush? Well, I mean, you're blaming
John. I think I am. I think that if I were to find a flaw with John Kerry, it would be that he didn't realize.
I guess if we have a hangover,
otherwise
George Bush's fault too.
He should not have relied, perhaps, on what he was being told by the administration.
I love your liberal logic. If Bush says it about WMDs, it's a lie. If Kerry, if Edwards, if Clinton and Gore, the UN friends say it, even that's Bush's fault.
Everybody who talked about that at that time was relying on the information they got from the Bush administration.
Oh, I know. All right.
Because they were charged with the intelligence agencies.
In this day and age.
After Hannity said, "You're blaming John Kerry's public statements on George Bush," did you hear the little snot-nosed laughing?
I think I wish, yes, I am. That's
a good point. It was an evil laugh. It was like the laugh of Satan. Jack Clark is a smart guy, and he makes a number of good points that I cut out because I really have no disagreement with them. However, it's Clark's final point that really pisses me off.
Now, as you heard, it's kind of hard to get in a word edgewise with Hannity. And if you start saying something that effectively contradicts him, he starts talking over you, laughing, and just doing everything he can to distract the audience from what you're saying. What I would have done is, I would have said, "Hey, wait a minute, Hannity. Where do you think Kerry would get his intelligence information from? Does Kerry have his own CIA? Does Kerry have his own NSA? Does Kerry have his own Pentagon? Is there something called the KIA, the Kerry Intelligence Agency? I don't think so. Anything Kerry's going to know about foreign affairs intelligence matters is going to be something that he gets from the current administration. And the current administration was the Bush administration. That's where he got his information from. So what do we have? Bush tells a lie to Kerry. Kerry believes it and repeats the lie.
Whoa. Kerry didn't believe the lie. I know this because Kerry is not a fucking moron, and nor is Jack Clark. Kerry knew he was being lied to by the Bush people, and Jack Clark knows that Kerry knew he was being lied to, because if you listen to Jack Clark, you'll see that Jack Clark is a smart guy. I really mean this. I'm not trying to be a wise ass. Everyone before the war that applied just a tiny bit of critical thinking to the situation knew that George Bush was misleading the country into war. It was fucking obvious. Okay? The timing of Bush's war alone was enough evidence in itself to make the invasion of Iraq seem highly questionable. Okay? Jack Clark is using something called rhetoric to attack the right. Rhetoric is not based in fact. Rhetoric is the clever use of horse shit for the purposes of persuading people. That's all it is. Everyone knew, okay, that Bush's war was a fabrication. And if you listen to the intro to this show, okay, you'll see that Michael Moore also knew, okay? So, you know, how did he know? Okay, well, he knew the same way that anyone else, okay, who isn't an idiot, knew that this war against Iraq was fiction. Okay, and I'm just getting tired of all these fucking assholes, senators and congressmen, bitching and moaning about being misled by Bush into war. This is a fucking lie. No senator and no congressman was misled by Bush into war. The logic of this argument is completely fucking flawed. If Kerry or Murther or Biden or any one of these assholes, okay, were misled into war, then how come their colleagues like Nancy Pelosi and Barney Frank and Ted Kennedy managed to come to the right decision, which was to vote against the war? The Democratic Party machine is lying to you. They're insulting your intelligence, and they're using insidious manipulation tactics to allow you to believe that they're not responsible for the heinous evil perpetrated against the Iraqi people. The proper response to Hannity is that the Democrats are to blame for this evil war, just like the Republicans. But now, both parties need to own up to their crimes against humanity, and not only pull out of Iraq, but monetarily pay for the damage we inflicted on Iraq. And it shouldn't end there. We can't just fix Iraq with money. We have wrecked their social order. Women no longer have the rights that they did under Saddam. We need to award all Iraqis who are interested citizenship in the United States. That is the only way that we can begin to pay for our crimes. We also need to bring anyone responsible for these crimes to justice in an international court. You know, this is not going to happen, okay? This is, you know, I'm dreaming. Anyone who thinks this is going to happen is dreaming, okay? But it doesn't mean it shouldn't happen. I really wish Jack Clark would stop using rhetoric to defend Democrats. He's a smart guy, and he has a lot of good points to make, okay? Rhetoric is really beneath this guy. It really is. I mean, I say a lot of crazy shit, okay? I mean, I do it for a reason, okay? You know, I'm trying to get people to think critically. That's one of the reasons why I say crazy shit. You know, I'm just trying to jar you into, you know, into reason, okay? But I don't use rhetoric, okay? I do not lie to you. I do not overtly lie to you. Sometimes I use hyperbole, but again, I'm just trying to shock you, okay? I'm just trying to get you to think critically. That's all I'm trying to do.
Acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes.
A president himself must be responsible. United States of America. My fellow Americans, my friend, my job is your president. Desperation, violence, war to threaten the peace of the world. By the end of next year, we will demolish, change lives in the greater Middle East, one by one. Desperation for the Iraqi people. The Iraqi people will fade and die away. This is discrimination, pure and simple. That's what you're seeing on your TV screens. You will know my reasons. Our actions, too, are guided by a vision. Iraqi oil production. Iraqi oil production is now back in Iraq. Crude oil.
Iraqi oil production has reached more than 2 million barrels per day, and that's a good thing. America made a decision, sacrifice, for everyone in every bracket. And more murders of the innocent around the world, as long as necessary, and without conscience. I will live and lead by these principles, because our cause is right. It is a new world, yet there still is much work to do. Justice, freedom, dignity, and hope in the civilized world. It is a totalitarian political ideology. No justification whatsoever. Given the recent increase in violence, and that I'm honored, touched by faith and mind and soul to prevent Iraqi self-government, to achieve a stable Iraq. Now is the time to prevent the rise of a sovereign democratic government. It's all around the world. Yet we have a great advantage, oil production. And thanks in part to our efforts, Iraqi oil production is now back in the United States of America. And that's a good thing. My plan sets aside $3.4 trillion to develop evil weapons and dirty bomb and export more violence for the next 10 years. My re-election is our destiny because I've seen it, because I felt it, and that's a good thing. Axis of evil to threaten the peace of the world. To prevent the rise of a sovereign democratic government. The sooner our job will be done.
What the president said today is he said, quote, now there are over 120 Iraqi army and police combat battalions in the fight against the terrorists. There is a big difference between being in the fight against terrorists and being fully combat ready.
Oh, absolutely. And really, what so many of these forces are just numbers on paper. These are guys who have been churned out in a 3 to 5 week training session where they become familiar with shooting a Kalashnikov rifle and learn how to do basic patrolling. Then they're whacked in a uniform and they sit on a street corner or at checkpoints or actually go out on raids. And these guys, the traditional Iraqi culture is that you spend as much time at home as you possibly can. So if these are troops who are far from their home base, they spend weeks every month traveling to and from their home city. So these guys are getting very little real training.
The president said 80 Iraqi battalions are fighting side by side with coalition forces and about 40 others are taking the lead in the fight. The soldiers, the American soldiers who you have spent so much time with, do they have confidence in the Iraqis who are apparently taking the lead in this fight or standing side by side with them?
No, the American soldiers can really have very little faith in their Iraqi comrades. I mean, I was in a battle just 2 weeks ago where some of the Iraqis refused to fire when we came under attack. And this is a man who, in the face of an attack, just puts down his weapon and curls up in a ball. I mean, I've seen that on many, many occasions.
The president also said today that in the Battle of Tal Afar, the assault in the north of Iraq, that he said it was led primarily by Iraqi security forces, 11 Iraqi battalions backed by 5 coalition battalions providing support.
With the greatest respect to the president, that is completely wrong and is extraordinarily misleading.
How do you know that?
I was in that battle from the very beginning to the very end. I was with Iraqi units right there on the front line as they were battling with Al-Qaeda. They were not leading. They were being led by the U.S. Green Beret Special Forces with them. Green Berets who were following an American plan of attack, who were advancing with these Iraqi units as and when they were told to do so by the American battle planners. The Iraqis led nothing.
Very different view from the president's speech. The question is, tonight, where do we go from here?
This has been Mind Walk, an Upstart Radio production for nonprofit use.